Second speaker is Christoph Mintz, and the title of the talk is Sprinklings and Causal Set Theory and Local Structures to Discretize Field Propagators.
Thank you. So thank you for the organizers to give me the opportunity to give the talk here at the conference, and it's also a very nice conference to be part of. So my talk is about causal set theory, and I assume that most of you have seen the talk from Sumache Suya. So I won't say too much about the central objects of causal set theory, but I actually want to talk a bit about how to obtain causal sets from given space-time. So eventually we want to do the other way around. So we actually want to start with a causal set, and then we want to find the space-time manifold. But at the moment, when we want to find toy models, we actually want to go the other way around. So we start from a given space-time manifold, and then we want to get a causal set for that space-time. And that process is called sprinkling in causal set theory, and I want to say a bit more about the mathematics behind that. So basically, as a rough sketch, this is a Poisson process where we, as I said, that start from this from a manifold, and then we have some finite subsets of that, and we get our causal relation from the space-time. So what we can start with, so we start with our manifold, and we can think about the configurations of sprinklings on that manifold as just finite subsets of as discrete sets, so that every intersection with any pre-compact open subset U gives us a finite number of points, and so this makes up our configuration space Q. But it's a bit harder to construct directly a measure on that entire configuration space. So we start with a slightly simpler version, namely with just considering tuples of n many points in some of these or in one of these open precompact subsets. So we can think about one tuple of points, for example, like that. But the disadvantage of using tuples is that, well, we have kind of a labeling. So because the events are ordered in that tuple, there are, of course, other labelings of these events, which are just distinct elements in this configuration space. So for causal set theory, we are actually not really interested in some particular labeling for these points. So we want to get rid of this labeling. And so we map all of these tuples to just a set of these points. So we have n factorial many tuples to be mapped there. And this is then our configuration space Q U for some fixed cardinality n. And then we can take the union over all these configuration spaces for any cardinality n to get a configuration space Q U for every open precompact subset. And then when we want to talk about the measure, the probability measure on that, to obtain one causal set, we can start with one well-known measure, namely the volume measure. So we take our volume measure on the space-time manifold, so that, well, this is the common expression for that in some coordinate chart, with some metric factor here, and we just multiply that with a fixed sprinkling density parameter, and so we obtain a so-called intensity measure, and that intensity measure is then our fundament to construct our probability measure. So we eventually find the probability measure just being basically the n-fold Cartesian product of this intensity measure which we have just seen. And we have to take into account a pre-image of our initial tuples. So any tuple, so we have to account for all possible tuples of labeled events. And then this is our now probability measure on some open precompact subset. And then we can take the inverse limit of those to obtain actually a measure on the entire manifold. And there is actually a unique Poisson measure on that entire manifold, which can be shown by the Hahn-Kolmogorov theorem, but I'm not going to go into details here. And so we are currently working on a publication of that and all the rest, which I'm going to show you. And I hope this should be publishable soon. So you can then find further details on that in that paper. So So once we have all our points, we can now take the causal relations. So we show all here only the links, so just the connections between the direct neighbors in some sense, so neighbors in the causal set to obtain this these links between the events. And now what we want to do once we have such a causal set from a given space-time, we want to construct, for example, some classical or quantum fields on that. And in order to do that, we actually need to discretize our equations of motion. So for example, we could consider the Klein-Gordon equation on a causal set. And so we want to discretize the Klein-Gordon equation. And this has been done before. There are two examples of references here, which give an overview of that. And this has been done before, but in most approaches before, they actually use so-called layers. So consider one event in this causal set, then you can find all events which are actually linked to the past as the one layer past. So this is L1 minus. And then, of course, you can also go further to so, elements which are linked by two links, and then elements where the causal interval here has four events and so on. So we can continue that, but the disadvantage of these approaches is that you need the space-time dimension as an input. But for a causal set, well, of course, if you have a generic causal set, you might not know the space-time dimension. The space-time dimension is rather some local observable or something what you have to figure out, and what you don't have as an input. So there's a new approach which was actually just published this year, which has the potential to be dimension independent and which relies on a preferred past structure. And I will explain what that is, but we need for that a few other definitions. So I start with the definition of a path. So if we have two elements, X and Y in the causal set, then a path is just a chain where all the elements are linked. And you can now consider all these paths between an element X and an element Y and collect them in this set. And then with the set, we can now define a rank function. So we can consider some element Y again covering X. And then the rank is just the shortest path what we can find, and we take the number of links basically for that. So if we, for example, if you have two elements which are actually linked, then the rank is just one. And now with this rank, we can similarly to the layers, we can define a rank k past by just considering elements which are in the respective rank to with respect to the other element. And with this rank, we can now look in particular on the rank 2 past, which is also shown in this graphic down here. So you have all these points which are two links away from X. And our preferred path structure is just a map that assigns for every element of a causal set X, just assigns one of these events. Well, this does work for all the events in a causal set, except for those which are so far in the past that they don't have any past two rank past element anymore. And these elements are shown down here. So we have to exclude those. And now what we actually did in this research project is to look at ways to obtain such a preferred path structure. So we want to find such a map, and to do that, we actually looked at all possible diamonds between some event X and some event in the rank 2 past. And so what you can think of are, for example, these very simple diamonds. We call them one diamonds because you only have one element in between. And then you can also have two diamonds, so you have two elements between those, and you can have a few of those, and you have three diamonds, and so on. And, but you might also find diamonds where you have further elements, and we call those further elements internal events. And so we actually classify our diamonds by the number of internal events and by the size of these diamonds. When we did this, we did some numerical investigations where we now considered six different criteria to choose one of these diamonds. And then we looked at how likely these criteria pick just one event in the two rank pass for every event. So basically on their uniqueness. And then we also looked at the proper time separation, because we still have our embedding from our sprinkling, we can also look at the proper time separation between two events. And so interesting criteria might be to look at largest pure diamonds. So pure diamonds are those diamonds, if you go back here, which don't have any internal events. For example, this is a three diamond, a pure three diamond. And so you could think maybe this is a good choice to look at the largest pure diamond, but maybe it's a good choice to look at to minimize the number of internal events after we have maximized the number of rank two paths. And then we can also look at the smallest diamonds, and we can find a kind of a complementary thing to two, and we can also look at the largest diamond. And the criterion five here, which will turn out as our best result, is actually a kind of a combination of two of the criteria before. But let's come to the results. So here in this plot, we can see the uniqueness, basically. So how many elements or how likely is it to actually just get one element picked by one of these criteria? And so we see that if we choose criterion three, for example, which picks the smallest diamonds, we see that this almost never gives just one rank two pass, but usually more than that. And the best criteria, especially in four space time dimensions, were by those four criteria here. So the sixth one was picking the largest diamond. Then this was our favorite here. And this one were considering to maximize or minimize the number of internal events after maximizing the number of rank two paths. And then, as I said, we also looked at the proper time separation. So these are further plots, which I didn't have on my poster, but this is basically looking at flat space time in 1+1 dimensions, where we have all these criteria here. And the most distinct result is actually for 1+3 dimensions. So we have here, where we see that criterion one and criterion five, you have a very sharp peak to choose for the proper time separation. So these are rather rather small diamonds in the sense that they have a very small proper time separation. And if we go now back to our uniqueness, we can see, well, the criterion one was actually not very good in picking a unique diamond. So we ended up in combination of those two qualities by saying that criterion five was the best. And with this, I'm actually coming to the end of my talk. And here you can see a few references, a few introductory references to causal set theory, and also this new approach to the discretization, which I've mentioned in my paper and which this research is actually based on. So thank you very much.
Okay, let's thank Christoph.